This podcast is proud to be part of the TalkSport Fan Network. TalkSport. Powered by fans.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f***? So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
The TalkSport Fan Network is proudly supported by McDelivery, bringing you the food you love. McDelivery brings a top-tier lineup of food right to your door. No matter the result, you'll always be winning with McDelivery. So, the only thing left to say is, you in? Order now on the McDonald's app, and you can also get rewards points delivered too, so that ordering today means some tasty rewards for tomorrow. Only via app at participating restaurants, 18 plus, rewards registration required. Points only on menu items. Delivery fee and terms apply. See mcdonalds.com. So it's another warm welcome back to Chelsea legend Kerry Dixon. How are you, mate?
Good afternoon, Dave. I'm fine, thank you.
Excellent stuff. Well, sadly, we have no Chelsea to look forward to this weekend, but goodness me, I'm sure we're all basking in what was an absolutely fantastic performance last weekend, Kerry, against Everton. What did you think of that?
Well, basking in the performance, not very well. We're not really basking in our predictions, and we come on these shows and as pundits as such, and we predict a tight game. We predict, well, I actually went for a 3-1, but I thought it would be a lot tighter than what it was. I think Chelsea were in total control. I said they had November wobbles in the past, which they have. That was blown away as well, because the start of November has been really good for Chelsea. And long may it continue. And I'm now starting to believe, and I hope I don't put the kiss of death on anything, that we might well be contenders. You know, when you look at the United performance, very good. I understand that it was a little bit of Jose coming back and all the furore that surrounded it the whole day, which might have brought out a little bit of improvement. But then we go to Southampton and get a win against a very good side away from home, which is the sort of thing you've got to do if you're going to be contenders. And then we beat an Everton side, which, you know, have had good results. They've upset a lot of decent teams this season. And we beat them comprehensively. So I'm starting to now believe if this is the form and we can keep it going, that we're going to show throughout the season, then we'll definitely be in the mix.
Yeah, I mean, you know, I hate to say, I mean, I think actually it's funny you mention our predictions, and I think a lot of... my caution is from the fact that I'm a nervous Chelsea supporter, and I've been watching them a long time, so I don't like to get ahead of myself. But I think you're right, mate. I think there is a real feeling that we might well be title contenders this year. And, you know, one of the things that's occurred to me is, of course, we don't have any European football this season. So that enables Conte to spend the whole week with the squad and impart his methods. Do you think that might actually be quite a factor in the end?
Well, it's a possibility. You know, people always look when teams are doing well and they look for reasons as to why they're doing well. I always tend to think, like I said always in the past, that we've got good players and they're playing together and they're playing for each other. And, you know, OK, less games might be a factor, as it turns out. The thing that less games gives is less chance of injuries, and those with injuries have got more time to recover. But having said that, if all players remain fit, I like to play football, and I'm sure most of the present players would rather play than train, whether it be midweek games or otherwise. I couldn't wait to try and get another goal. If I was a goal scorer like Diego Costa, who's in great form, he must be looking forward to every game. It can't come quick enough. Eden Hazard, you know, we said about the stars so far, and I fully believe these two are the key to us this season if they stay fit. I really do believe that. Hazard is starting to play like the player we all hope he will become. And be in the top five when they're mentioned in the world, you know, the Ronaldos, the Messis, Neymars, and he can join that. He's got the ability if he continues to play like he did two seasons ago, not last season. He's certainly doing that this season, and with him in that form, we've got a chance, and I fully believe it. I think there's other players showing improved form. It's not just about them two, but as I've said before, that they, for me, are the key.
Yeah, I think that's a really good point. And, you know, I quite rightly, actually, Eden Hazard got a huge amount of praise for his performance against Everton. There was also a lot of, you could call it hyperbole, really, but basically a lot of people saying, is this the best performance we've ever had and all this kind of thing. I mean, from my own point of view, I thought it's some of the best football I've seen us play, but I think that's a different thing than, you know, a performance, you know, against a very top side when it, you know, like a European Cup semi-final or something, which may not have had beautiful football, but actually the way that the team played as a unit and got us through was perhaps more important. But, you know, enough of what I think, Kerry. I'd like to hear what you think. Was that one of the best Chelsea performances you've seen?
Well, it's high praise indeed, if indeed the people saying that, best performance ever. I mean, we've seen a lot of good performances, under various managers over the years. To pull out one, you know, you can look at 8-0s and all sorts of stuff. There's been great performances, but no, it was a very good performance. But, you know, if we put it into perspective, it's a great 4-0 win against a tough side, but at home, comparing it to various other performances away and all sorts of stuff. If people want to get carried away, then by all means. I'm a bit like you, a bit of a sceptic in that, you know, I've seen good performances and I've seen us the very next game throwing a dud. So, you know, I'll sit tight still. I'm excited by two or three of the performances and the results this year, and I'm optimistic. You know, the most important thing is people will be looking for Conte to build his own side, to put his own, as they say, stamp on the team and get them playing his way. Well, as I've said before, I think he's fell into a system here, which players are in, and all he's got to do now, it works for the majority of the team and it seems to be working in terms of results. He'll just have to, when injuries come and suspensions come, make the right choices to keep the system and the shape going and keep the results coming. That's going to be the key to his management this year. If he does that, all well and good. Chelsea, without doubt, along with the other factors, like you talk about Europe, like you talk about the size of the squad, like you talk about the team playing together, the momentum, all the factors. If he can continue with this, then for those of you that are betting people, get your money out and bang it on. I fully believe that Chelsea are in there. Having said that, you know, it'd be right to look at some of the other contenders. And Manchester City, I actually thought at the start of the season, would run away with it. I really did. But it's not the case. They've got some good players. Arsenal are playing good football, as usual, and everyone's tipping them. Tottenham are hanging on. And the surprise, or not surprise, if you like, is Liverpool. And you saw what they did to us. They've added a new dimension with Mane, I do believe, up front. And Klopp, like Conte, is getting the best out of his players. And, you know, it's going to be a very good season with a lot of teams playing well with new managers.
Yeah, I think so. It's good, healthy competition, is it? And actually, I think it's a, you know, we're beginning to talk in terms of Chelsea being title contenders. And actually, I think the next, pre-Christmas, I think that's going to tell us a lot about where we are. Because I think we've got, you know, another round of tough matches. Middlesbrough have been getting some really good results against top teams. We've got them away next. Then we've got Spurs, who are quite a decent proposition these days, even though we've got an excellent record against them. And then we've got City as well. So I think, you know, once we've got those three games out of the way, then maybe we can start thinking about it more seriously.
Yes, and once we get November out of the way, of course, because even though we've started well, there's still a long way to go. I fully believe that is the case, and I agree with you.
Yeah, I mean, talking of great performances as we were, I mean, I remember a couple in your day, actually, that thrashing of Derby on the first from the second division and on pretty much towards the end of a season, the thrashing of Leeds seemed to, I think they were both 5-0s, weren't they?
Yeah, so both 5-0. I think, no, the derby game that we're talking about was actually the first game that I played for Chelsea. It was the season after Clive saved Chelsea from the drop up at Bolton with a 1-0 win.
That's right.
And, of course, a load of new players come, and I was one of them. And, yeah, that was a decent performance. I mean, the football possibly wasn't the same as what you saw against Everton. But certainly, if you look back at some of the games, you know, I remember a game I didn't score in, which Chelsea played ever so well. We beat Newcastle at home 4-0. Pat Nevin was mesmerising on the day. You know, things like that.
The famous dribble in that game, wasn't it?
Famous dribble, beat about five players, and I think he beat him twice as the story, as the drinks flow, and he beat more and more players, and he beat them for longer, and he still didn't cross the ball, so I was still waiting for the ball in the middle. But, you know, nothing wrong with a bit of exaggeration on a wonderful story, as they say, and, you know, Pat was a good player, and that was one of the good performances of my day.
Yeah, exactly. Never let the truth get in the way of a good story, I've always said, Kerry. Anyway, moving on. It's international break now, of course, and I have, you know, and I think a lot of Chelsea supporters have probably got mixed feelings about it. I'm worried that it might stop that momentum. Some of the players might come back with injuries. So the question really is it a help or a hindrance?
Well, it's a necessity. It's what it's all about, as far as I'm concerned. You know, you play for your country. You grow up wanting to play for your national side, or you should do. Or it's just in terms of a professional footballer, it's getting to where you want to be and then do well for your country. So it's a necessity. Every player who ever plays football has got these breaks and these games and, you know, the tournaments hopefully in the summer. So it's something you've got to deal with. But various managers who, you know, obviously looking at their own situation will not like it because there is, as you've already said, another opportunity for players to be injured. It also is, on a positive side, if a player does well for his international team, he'll come back absolutely buzzing. And, you know, if the momentum is there within a player and confidence is high, it can instill and run on. And the international team can give players a boost. I know you're there and all the hacks are there to give you a stick. They look at each and scrutinise each individual performance. And players will get pulled to bits to a degree if the result's not right and the performance is slightly down. So it can have a negative effect. But, you know, it's something which we've got to have and it's something that happens. I don't see it as a hindrance. I see it as a plus for those that are going and something to look at for those that stay home and train all week, you know, because you train with a depleted squad. The youngsters normally coming in to make up the training sessions. And it's not like normal training throughout the season. It's a little bit of impetus for the people who are left at home to think, I've got to play that little bit better. Then next time one of these situations comes along, I'll be going with my national team and not be back at the training ground.
Well, you know, obviously the interesting thing is these days, you know, so many of the Chelsea squad are internationals, even some of the youngsters, which is wonderful to see. And of course, I mean, the thing is, I remember, you know, in your day when you were playing for Chelsea, most of us, well, certainly me, you know, took huge pride in the fact that you got picked for England. I mean, it really, really was. We had massive pride when a Chelsea player got picked for England. And of course, you know, in those days, we weren't really half as successful as we are now. And I do get the impression, even amongst Chelsea fans who've nearly always been massive England supporters as well, but things seem to have changed. There seems to be a real downer on the international football and even England in particular. And I just wonder why that is, Kerry. I mean, you got any ideas on that?
Well, my thoughts are it's a continual, I suppose, disappointment after being hyped up in major tournaments that England don't produce and we haven't produced for the players that we have at our disposal for the money they get paid. You know, the press is invariably negative about the England performances and about our expectancy levels failing. And, pardon me, I think year after year as it goes on, tournament after tournament, people tend to become disinterested in it. It shouldn't be the case. The press should hype England games up, but not overhype, which is what we always seem to get prior to big tournaments, how well we're going to do. The hope factor will always be the case, but the England games are something we should be looked forward to, I think, but I do believe and I do understand it's very hard to look forward to the way the world, if you like, or even Europe has cut up into teams. And no disrespect to any particular country, but some of the smaller nations when England played them, because we consider ourselves one of the big football nations. And, you know, when we see a game against, I don't know, Montenegro and versus Bosnia, or, you know, forgive me for saying various countries and mentioning them, but that's not meant in a negative manner. But these countries were part of a bigger country at once.
Cheech.
JK, in all the years you've been following Chelsea, you hardly ever miss a match, home or away. But how would you feel if you couldn't be there and it's not on TV?
Oh, Cheech, I'd be bereft. Inconsolable. The thought of missing my beloved Blue Boys live. It's all too much.
I know, JK, I know. It's all a bit too much, isn't it?
Yes.
Well, panic not. NordVPN have come to the rescue.
They have?
Yep, NordVPN allows us to watch any match, even if it's not on live TV here.
They do?
Yeah, they do. With just one click, they switch your virtual location to a country which is showing the match, and they act as your cyber bodyguard whilst online, protecting your personal data and sensitive info like card details and passwords.
Oh, wow, great. But yeah, I bet that'll cost me a fortune.
Actually, JK, it's only the price of a cup of coffee per month, and you can use your account across 6 devices. It's a bargain, JK, and best of all, no more tears for you.
Oh, thank you. Thank you, NordVPN. I'm so happy. I could cry. Where do I sign up, Ginge?
Well, to get the best discount off your NordVPN plan, go to nordvpn.com/Chelsea Fancast. There's no risk with Nord's 30-day money-back guarantee, and you'll help support the Chelsea Fancast. The link is in the podcast episode description box. Away days are great, but there's nothing quite like playing at home. The same goes for McDonald's. Maximise your home ground advantage with McDelivery. You in? Order now on the McDonald's app. At participating restaurants, 18 plus, serving times, delivery fee and terms apply. See mcdonalds.com.
Stage or a bigger union. And, you know, some of the great footballing sides were formed there. And some of these games throughout Europe, although I do consider none of them are easy games, by fans, traditional fans, or older fans, if you like, are considered something of a formality. And when England don't steamroller these teams and win 4-5, 6-0, there's a large degree of despondency about the situation. So it's continually negative press. And I think that filters itself through to the normal supporter, if you like. And that's the reason that I think, you know, the press helped to build people up, but they also helped to knock things down. And I think England have taken a bit of a knocking in the years.
Yeah, I mean, you know, I think there's a lot of sense in what you say there, Kerry. I mean, I think it's a massive shame, really, because, I mean, I grew up, you know, as much as an England fan as I was a Chelsea fan, really. But I just kind of also wonder, actually, that, you know, maybe a lot of the demise in the love for England and international football has a lot to do with the rise of the Premier League in a way. I mean, it's just so hyped up, isn't it, the Premier League? And, of course, we've been very lucky as Chelsea supporters because we've seen an awful lot of success. And, I mean, one of the things that I've kind of said flippantly to people in the past is that I don't actually have enough emotional space left for England. I drain every bit of it out on my support in Chelsea. So maybe that has something to do with it as well. I don't know. But it's a shame, really, I think, at the end of the day.
Well, it is. And I fully understand your feelings. That's probably mirrored by lots of fans supporting different clubs all over the country. But the reality is, if the hype and the continual thing is to support your national side, we're, you know, at the end of the day, we're English, and we should support our team and look forward to these fixtures instead of negative press, negative after press, if you like, when the game's gone, even when the team win. They didn't win so well. It was a scrappy game. It wasn't this. It wasn't what we expected. This one didn't play so well. It's always negative. Perhaps if the outlook and of what people will do with it, it might help to change people's ideas. It's not going to change everyone, but it might change some. I just look back on the fixture, England-Scotland, and you think to yourself, is that the same fixture? It used to be something that everyone looked forward to. Certainly when I was a kid, England, you know, the home nations were still going. And you think it was something, England-Scotland game was a special game. Is it so special now? Are Scotland so good? I don't think they're as good as what they used to be. Well, certainly when you think of the names, you know, that they used to have, Dalglish, Souness, players of this calibre. And, you know, even during my time, but you know, they had the McAvennies, the Charlie Nicholas, Gordon Jurys. It depends, you know, certainly Miller McStay, you know, they had some good players. And I don't know. It certainly doesn't give you the same buzz as it used to. I have to admit that. Yeah. I can't really put my finger on totally why. But nevertheless, I'll still be looking forward to the game tonight and hoping that England win.
Well, hear, hear. And I'm just actually thinking, you know, if there is, if any passion for England is waning at all, there's nothing like, you know, England-Scotland to reignite it. I mean, it's the oldest international fixture for a start. And I mean, I take your point about what you say about Scotland being, you know, not a very good team at the moment. But I mean, you know, how good are we is the retort to that. But what I would also say is that, for me, it's an absolute derby. I mean, you know, it's like Chelsea have been beating Spurs forever and a day, and that doesn't diminish the appetite that we have for the game. You know, just keep them in their place is what I say. So, it's a massive match, England Scotland, and irrespective of what I said before, like you, I should be really looking forward to it tonight. I've just got a quick question, Kerry. Did you ever play for England against Scotland? Because I mean, the home internationals would still be going, wouldn't they, in your day?
Just the home internationals themselves actually finished. I was sub at Hampden when Richard Gough scored a goal and England got beat.
Right.
And England got beat 1-0. And I was sub. Didn't get on. It was at Hampden. But the atmosphere was incredible. You know, English fans were up there. You know, you had the Scottish fans, the Celtic fans one end, Celtic Scots, and you had the Rangers Scots the other end. And, you know, the England fans were next door. And, you know, the atmosphere was incredible. The noise levels were high. And I think it's going to be a great atmosphere tonight. I really do. And as you've already said, I'm looking forward to the game. And I hope England win, as I always do. And, you know, I'm looking forward to the game. And as far as keep them in their place, the derby fixture stuff is exactly right. You know, players rise. You're going to get, you know, a little bit more out of each player because of this particular fixture. And whether the Scottish are any good, whether we're any good, it's all going to go out the window, and every player's going to be trying their best, and all players will be trying to get the best for their country, irrespective of whether you're playing well for your country, whether you play for a League One side, or whether you play for a top Premier side. You know, it's all equal on the day, 11v11, and you're playing England v Scotland, and it's going to be a great game as far as I'm concerned.
Yeah, I, as I said, I'm looking forward to it too. I mean, you know, just kind of go back a second, you know, I mean, what did it mean for you to play for England?
It was the best thing ever when I stood there and the national anthem was playing for the first time. It was in the Aztec Stadium in 1985 as a full international. I'd come on a sub against Mexico to make my debut for 15 minutes, but the full international against then West Germany was an incredible situation. Hair stood up on the back of my neck because as far as the Panini stickers and here on in were going to be, it was Kerry Dixon, Chelsea and England. And here on in, that's what it's been. And, you know, I played for England. So I'm massively proud and pleased with the 8 games that I got.
There we go. Interesting stuff. We should look at the game tonight, really, just very quickly. But you know, I think the points that we were making earlier are very valid. That this is, you know, a very different sort of international game, and it'll probably be very much like a Premier League match and a bit of a derby. And hopefully, you know, the tackles will be flying in, and there'll be a lot of passion there. But do you see, you know, at the end of the day, England have more quality than Scotland, and should be able to eke out a result somehow?
Yes, I do believe that. I think there's loads of side stories as well. The Gareth Southgate situation, you know, will he be full-time boss or not? There's plenty of stories about the players, each individual players as to who will play, who won't play, what they want to do. Gordon Strachan, of course, he'll be desperate to beat England. Certainly, the Scottish players that are picked, you know, they'll be desperate to get some sort of win as well. And, you know, both teams want to go to the major tournaments at the end of the day. That's what they're looking for, and ultimately both will be looking for points. So I see England winning, I have to say. Once again, I'm doing what everyone else does. You know, England should beat Scotland. The hype is there. The thought pattern is there. And then, of course, if it was to go not the way I hope it and think it will go, there'll come the disappointment and everything we spoke about previously, you know, why, who and what, and players will return to their squads, you know, next week with either their tail between their legs or their chest puffed out.
Yeah, yeah. No, that's an interesting thought. I mean, actually, talking to Gareth Southgate, I mean, where do you stand on Gareth Southgate? Because, I mean, you know, technically he's kind of on trial for the job at the moment. Do you think he should be the next England manager?
I don't have any firm views on it, I've got to be honest. I think he's as good as any person. I've always believed that, and I'd like to think that an Englishman would manage England. That's what I believe. People say whether they're good enough. Well, I always believe that managers are only as good as your results. And, you know, if he gets the results and the lads play for him, which is effectively what they're there for anyway, why shouldn't he be? He's fine. He's been in England international. You know, he's been in and around the under 21 scene. He's a solid option, and providing the results go his way, then I don't see why he shouldn't be the manager.
Yeah, it's a fair point. I think it's, you know, one of the things I would say is I think international football has changed so much. You know, since you were playing, since I first started supporting, or being, you know, getting into football, it's a very, very different world now. So I don't see why a Gareth Southgate shouldn't get the job. You know, I think gone are the days when you can have an English manager who's won the league five times or whatever. It's just very different. And frankly, you know, I would prefer to have an English manager than have a foreign mercenary coming in, to be honest, mate. I think at the minimum it should be an English manager and give the guy a chance. You know, he can't do worse than a lot of the big names like Capello have done in the past and things like that. So fair play to him and good luck to him, I say.
Yes, that's definitely my feelings on it. Just a quick one. It's being reported, I'm hearing, that Diego Costa has flown back from Spain with a thigh injury, and he's going to be assessed, which is something we've spoke about here.
Yeah, I did see it. Yeah,
you know, you talk about injuries, and you talk about players and extra games, and I've said about, you know, Costa staying fit is vital and Hazard. Well, internationals could bring out a situation, but with Diego's history, of course, anything could happen, and that can happen anywhere. But it'll be sad if that's the situation, and he manages, or, you know, hopefully it doesn't. It isn't the case, and it isn't too bad if indeed what's being reported is correct, and he does manage to face Middlesbrough. But it'd be a tough one for him if his particular run of games at the moment is interrupted.
Well, I mean, wouldn't it just be? I mean, I you know, it's funny that, because like you, I caught it, you know, very, very obliquely, from what I understand, he's been withdrawn from Spain's squad. I'm just checking now, actually. It's got a little Sky Sports link. But, I mean, the bottom line is, you know, he, as you were saying earlier, mate, Eden Hazard is absolutely vital. But they're saying he's out of the Spain-England match. So, you know, hopefully he'll come back to Chelsea and they'll look after him. But you're right. I mean, if we were to lose Costa to injury right now, I think that would be very bad news. So hopefully that's not the case. Listen, mate, I suppose, well, I mean, we would normally do a prediction, wouldn't we? So should we stick our heads above the parapet knowing that we've been so completely wrong recently?
Yeah, we've been shot down twice, so third time lucky for us. And if you're talking England-Scotland, as you, I'm sure you are, let's go with 3-1 England.
Well, there you go. It's quite. I'd be honest. I think it'll be tight, and there'll be the odd goal in it. So I'm going to say 2-1. But I mean, having said that, we've got it all horribly wrong. I think that's a bit unfair on us, actually, because we've predicted the right result every week. We just haven't got the score lines quite right. So I think we shouldn't be quite so hard on us as we have been, Kerry.
All right. I suppose we're looking for perfection, and I suppose my 3-1 will be a hard fought 3-1.
Well, there you go. I used to do a football betting show, actually, a few years ago. And the one thing I always learned, I became very good mates with one of the bookmakers. And he, you know, that's what he always used to say. He said, never, ever put money on the score. He said, it's impossible. He said, much better markets than predicting the score. So there we go. That clearly, you know, we should take note of that.
Right. In that case, an England win.
Well there you go. I think we both predicted that, so that's fair enough, mate. I think that's pretty much all we've got time for this week, although what I will say is I got a lovely message from a lad on who put something up on our Facebook page, actually, which I must share with you. It's from a lad called John Boyer, who said, just tell Kerry, thank you for all the wonderful memories he gave us. A true legend. Keep the blue flag flying high.
Well, thank you very much. I hear lots of that from lots of Chelsea fans. They've always been very good to me, as you know. And it's very well received. And trust me, it's very well appreciated. I think that Chelsea fans, for me, have been the best. It's easy, I suppose, for me to say they're the best in the world. They've been the best in the world for me. And that's not going to change.
Yeah, excellent stuff. I mean, I should also tell you that I've had quite a lot of lovely messages on Twitter from people who've got their heads into listening to the show every week, and I always get loads of comments saying how fantastic it is, and really good to hear your wise words on it. So there we go. So praise indeed.
Thank you.
Okay. All right, mate. Well, look, we better wrap up. So I'll look forward to having a natter with you next week. But have a cracking week in the interim, and of course enjoy the game tonight, mate.
And you, Dave. Thank you very much. Have a nice weekend.
Yeah, pleasure, mate. Speak to you next week. Cheers, Kerry.
It's the 90th minute. All your mates around. You've got your McNuggets share boxes ready to go. Your mates already got booked for double dipping, and you steal the last nugget, snatching all 3 points. Perfect! Order McDelivery now on the McDonald's app. You in? At participating restaurants, 18 plus serving times, delivery fee and terms apply. See mcdonalds.com.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here, and it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.